The Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. We'll continue revisiting a broadcast from November 28th and 29th of 2011. As I mentioned yesterday, I was revisiting Alison Bakhti's book, Setting Boundaries with Difficult People, Six Steps to Sanity for Challenging Relationships. And he remembered this interview and how it blessed so many. So here's how I began the second day of our interview. I have Alison Bakhti back with me for another day to share about her book by Harvest House called Setting Boundaries with Difficult People, Six Steps to Sanity for Challenging Relationships. And we could spend a whole week just talking about sanity and how you've broken that down. But if you tuned in yesterday, you heard some of Alison's testimony, how God had been at work in her life, even that unique weight loss story that she'll be writing a book. I think it'll be coming out next year, where she lost about 120 pounds. And from looking at your photograph, Alison, I'm just still amazed that that's the same person. But kudos to you on how God's worked through creating good boundaries in your life and how yesterday you started talking about the importance of boundaries. And I just absolutely love this book. I've purchased a number of copies, or I've ordered copies. I can't wait for them to come in because I want to give them to friends and family members and some of the radio staff. And I even felt like some of our radio board would really benefit. This is a book I'm recommending for everyone, people of all ages, because God has set boundaries in place, healthy boundaries for us to flourish, to be whole, to know how to interact with others. And I love some of your premise and your foundational statements that you're an unashamed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You write this with a biblical mindset that to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to have good boundaries in place. So take us through sanity, because some of us, you know, we're stressed out by those difficult people in our lives. We don't know how to, in our minds, change them. But you're like, Mark, you're the one that really needs to be changed. You're the one that needs to set up a program to develop, to learn, to connect with God, to draw on his strength. And the sanity that you've put together is like a simplified way for us to make these steps, to have goals or a target to work through so that we can be whole, so that we can really, truly love these people as God would want us to love them. So take us through sanity, or help me become sane.
Well, sanity is an acronym for six steps that can provide a powerful prescription for a host of boundary-setting challenges. I call it a type of all-purpose medication. It can help us find hope and healing regardless of what it is we're facing. For me, sanity was a way back to God, and that's been such a key. Sanity is what we gain when we shift our priorities and stop focusing on the difficult people and on the problems other people have and on all the situations and circumstances of life and begin to focus on changing our own attitudes and behaviors, starting with our own heart. As God makes a difference in us, Mark, we can make a difference in other people's lives. And that's such a critical part of setting boundaries. Proverbs 4:23 is, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, and I found that protecting ourselves and not becoming entangled in the emotional state of a difficult person, you know, can become tricky. And once we get ourselves caught up in all of that, we are not being the people God wants us to be. We aren't protecting our hearts. We aren't keeping that relationship with him as a priority, and we get way off track. So sanity is a way to come back and get focused. S is, and as simple as this sounds, S is stop. Stop our own negative behavior. Stop our typical responses. When we are dealing with difficult people, you know, we often know what it is that they say that trips our trigger, and then we respond this way, and then it goes this way. And, you know, there's a pretty, you know, habitual way that we communicate with difficult people. And we, you know, they may desperately need to change. It might be that person is 100% wrong. They're toxic. You know, they're the ones that need to change, but you can't change them. So what we can do is stop. Even if it's in our tracks, you know, stop that, you know, bite your tongue if you need to. Stop that typical response and step back and get out of the heat of that moment. So that's S. A is assemble a support group. Get around other people that are in your same situation. This is why AA has worked, Celebrate Recovery has worked, why Al-Anon works. When you're around other people who are going through what you're going through, whether maybe you're a caregiver and you've got toxic parents or toxic grandparents, you need to get around other people that are caregivers of folks like this, and they can help you, whether you're dealing with a child who's incarcerated or a drug addict child. Be around other people that will help you see objectively, which is real tough for us when we're caught up in the emotions of relationships and circumstances. So people that will help us see objectively, that will hold us accountable, that will communicate, pray for us, that will pray with us. When I say assemble a support group, I really am very firm. We're not talking about getting in a big gossip session where all the family members can get together and talk about how much, you know, they despise Uncle Bill and all of his, you know, responses at the Thanksgiving table. You know, that's not what I mean. It really is a support group where you can strengthen your walk with the Lord. And the N in sanity stands for nip excuses in the bud. You know, Mark, once we see an excuse for what it really is, which is a way to justify our actions or avoid the truth, that's when we can address the real issues at the heart of the matter. That is such a critical point. I keep saying that all of these points are critical, but if we keep coming back to this when we're dealing with difficult people or when we feel our boundaries are being overstepped, we have to nip those excuses in the bud and address the real issue at the heart of the matter.
Well, and I like in one of your chapters called Choosing to Change, you say the truth is, feeling powerless is, in fact, a choice. In reality, people choose to assemble the role of one who has no choices, who is powerless. If you're serious about putting an end to your ineffective and unhealthy responses to the difficult person in your life, it's fully within your power to make the choice that will change your life. You begin by asking God to help you do so. The more intimately we draw on the heart of God, the more clearly we know His will. Even though all choices may be permissible, some may not be the best.
Exactly, and that's it. We have no choice. I have no choice no matter how they're... Yes, you do. We absolutely do, and we have become a society of a lot of folks that think that, you know, we're out of control in a lot of that we don't have a choice, that we're just caught up in things. And that comes back to, you know, what I mentioned in the program that we did yesterday, is deliberate and intentional. You know, we need to have a deliberate and intentional life. God has put us here for such a short time, and He wants us to make a difference for Him, and He wants us to share this love that we have for the Lord with other people. And how are we going to do that if we aren't reflecting the character of Christ when we're dealing with people who trip our triggers? You know, if we're coming back at them in an anger way or in a difficult way, and we've got to stop, step back, and really reflect that, you know, that character of Christ, and not get caught up in the drama, and realize that we have a choice. We can choose not to get caught up. We can choose how we're going to respond. Now, it's hard, so it takes practice sometimes. That which leads us into the I of sanity: implement rules and boundaries. It's actually a plan. You know, I say hope lies in learning to depend on God and to make intentional choices that will change our lives and not just perpetuate the status quo. Now, when we implement, that's a critical point, because it really means that something's going to happen. If we're going to change our response, what might happen on the other end? So, you know, that implementing rules, I advocate writing it down. Get a pad of paper out, write down what you want different, what you're willing to do, what you think you need to do. Pray, what is God telling you, and how are you going to implement rules and boundaries? You know, a good example of this, you know, I've used this often for the adult children issue is, you know, let's say you've got an adult child who's living in your house with you, and they're not working, and you've told them time and time again they've got to go, and there's just all this emotional mess building up. Well, you know, you need to implement rules. You've got to figure out an action plan, write it out. You know, you have on December 5th, you know, you've got however many weeks, you know, you've got to move out. Here is, you know, what you can take with you. The phone stays here. I'm no longer paying the car. You've got to, you know, and write it out and give them a plan. It's hard because, of course, something's going to happen on that other end. There's consequences. When we start setting boundaries, there's consequences, and sometimes they're painful for us and painful for the people that are around us. But also, sometimes those consequences can be positive. Sometimes they can motivate somebody to really make a change in their life. When I stopped enabling my son and stopped funding and supporting his negative behavior and his poor lifestyle, he was forced to make some changes in his life. And some of them weren't real good, but some of them have been very, very good for him. So, you know, we don't know how God is going to use us in people's lives around us. So I kind of started rambling there, but in the implementing rules and boundaries, you've got to really make a decision. And that's where I is. Plan it, decide to do it, and then carry it out.
I learned a lot from this chapter, especially, and you mentioned it, being that enabler. And I know a number of enablers. I'm an enabler. And what I learned through some of this is many times we give people a pass. Well, their background, they went through this, they suffered through this, so therefore I just need to accept this and tolerate this. And you were sitting there. You were saying no.
That's the end. You got to nip that excuse. That's an excuse.
I was thinking, gosh, I've done that in various circumstances, and I know a situation, a loving mom that's, you know, because of some issues in her past, well, you know, because of this, this is just the way I am. And you're saying, wait a minute, that's not a healthy boundary to just allow them to say, well, because of their past, therefore you got to accept how they're treating you today.
And that is a very typical response in parents, especially I find these moms that are single moms or that are, you know, raising these kids on their own, and we've made some mistakes and we are feeling guilty. So we say, well, you know, I didn't make some good choices myself when he was a kid, and now he's going through this and this. Well, okay, but that was then, this is now. So here we are. So are you going to live this way the rest of your life? You know, or are you going to make some changes? And that's where that support of people is helpful, our support group, you know, not having excuses, having a written plan, and making those changes. Otherwise, you know, make a choice then that you're going to just continue the status quo, and you're going to live in this miserable situation, whatever it is, and that's how it's going to be until you die. You know, if that's it, then make that decision. And I know that sounds hard, but, you know, if something isn't working and it's uncomfortable and it hurts us and it's hurting others around us and we don't do anything to change it and have nothing but excuses and keep putting it off, well, that's a choice we make. And this is not how God wants you to live. It comes back to guarding your heart. It comes back to how much do you want to do? Do you want to reflect the character of Christ? Do you want to be godly? Are you a Christian? And if you're saying you are, well, then here it is, right here in black and white. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That's, you know, this is the first and greatest commandment. And protect your heart. There's scripture throughout, you know, that tells us, you know, to have, that we have self-esteem in the Lord, that we shouldn't be enabling, that we are to train up these kids, that we aren't, you know, just have this guilt and this blame. And, you know, so we've got all these excuses have to stop. Enough's enough. You know, and it's hard. Enabling is one of the tough ones because it comes from a place of love and concern. Enablers don't set out to want to hurt people. We set out to want to help and fix and take care of. But in doing all that, we aren't looking at our own issues. Point that light back. What is it in you that God wants to change? We have got to, you know, start asking us ourselves, what is in my heart, soul, and mind that needs to change so I can find peace of mind in this relationship so that I can live the life that God intends me to live? Not just so you can, you know, have the life that, you know, God intends that other person to live. You don't know what life God intends them to live. You're not God. So, you know, all you can do is decide, you know, what life, you know, how do you tell me to live? Now, if you feel that after prayer and discernment that God is telling you, you know, I intend to have you live in that relationship that's difficult and horrible and painful for the rest of your life, well, okay, then that's what God is really telling you. You've got to figure out how to do that. How are you going to do that then? What does that look like? And, you know, we get so caught up, Mark, and, you know, it comes down to relationships and responsibility. Let's get your relationships in right order, and what are you responsible for? And in reality, our relationship, the first one, the most important one, is that of ours with God. And what are we responsible for? We're responsible for loving Him first, and we're responsible for loving our neighbor as ourself. What does that really look like in the natural? You know, loving your neighbor doesn't mean letting them abuse you or walk all over you or, you know, live a lifestyle that's illegal or unhealthy and you fund it. That's not what that means. And you know, it kind of comes back to the T in sanity we're talking about.
Okay, let me quickly do a recap for those of our listeners that may just be heading to work or traveling to and fro or just getting into their car. I have Alison Botke on the phone with me. She's the author of a new book, Setting Boundaries with Difficult People. And we're going through an acronym because if you've ever been stressed by a difficult person in your life, there is hope. And she's taken us through a little acronym, an easy way to remember some very specific steps that we can put into place to create good boundaries so that maybe a harmful relationship or a relationship that needs boundaries can be put in place. And she began with S under sanity for stop your own negative behavior. A in sanity is for assembling a support group, a healthy support group that can be very involved and help you process information and hold you accountable. The N, nip excuses in the bud. Hey, begin working on yourself and nip all those excuses. They're the way they are and we just got to tolerate that, or you just got to put up with it, or because for various excuses, you're just saying this is the way it is. And then we just finished talking about implementing rules and boundaries, the importance of putting some, maybe sometimes it's writing something out or laying down the law or saying these are going to be the consequences if you cross the boundaries. I no longer need to take that verbal or physical abuse. Now you're talking about trusting instincts. Tell us about that.
Feel that when I say trust your instincts, what I really am talking about is discerning the voice of the Spirit. If we're praying for discernment and wisdom and we are working on that relationship with the Lord, if that vertical relationship is right, that first one is right, we have got to trust Him. And when we trust Him, He tells us in His Word that He will speak to us through the Holy Spirit. He will use that voice, that still small voice, to give us knowledge and wisdom and discernment. And we, unfortunately, have gotten very good about not listening to that. we get caught up in our own stuff, and, you know, if we stop long enough, that S, again, stop and step back, trust that God will answer your prayer, that He will hear you, that He will respond to you when you come to Him and ask for help and guidance in this. So, you know, I find often, you know, that I get so caught up and then I'm hearing and I feel, oh, Alison, you know, that really isn't how you should be responding. That's not really what you want to do. And then I just kind of ignore it and go on and do, you know, what I want. And so it really is important to listen. If we're going to ask God to help us, let's listen to what He's telling us. And often that Spirit will tell us, that voice, that instinct will feel that. And Y, which is yield everything to God, that part of sanity is, I keep saying this, all of them are critical because they are, but Y probably is the most important, because when we are caught up in relationships that are painful, whether it's an adult child, a neighbor, a spouse, an ex-spouse, we get so caught up in this that, you know, we sometimes try to second-guess God and His response and what He wants us to do. And when we try to be God, it's not going to work out, because we aren't God and we don't know what His plan is for that difficult person. We don't know what His plan is in our life, and we need to step back and let God be God. Let Him do what He does best. I've often said when I stopped trying to be God in my son's life, he found God. And it was a tough road, because he ended up finding God in prison, and that was where God needed him to be. That was the Damascus road my son was walking. And every time I tried to swoop in and rescue him, I was getting in the way of a lesson that God wanted him to learn. And when it comes to difficult people in our lives, there's a lesson there, whether it's ours, whether it's theirs, whatever it is. You know, we walk. We have one day at a time to walk, and that one day at a time is walking in right relationship with the Lord, and how does He want us to respond in a certain situation, and trust Him. Trust Him that He'll give us the answers and that He'll open the doors or close the doors if that's what He is about, but we have to yield it to Him and believe and trust that He knows what He wants for in our life. We just have to stop trying to control it.
Yeah.
Which is hard for some of us, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, but I do have to say that I learned a lot. You probably, if your ears have been ringing or you've been feeling a sense of God being ever close to you, I've been thanking Him for how He's penned very specific words through you to help me, I think to help our listeners. These past 2 days, we've covered a lot of topics on your book, Setting Boundaries with Difficult People, but you also in the last few years have penned two other books, Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children and Setting Boundaries with Your Aging Parents. And then you're in the process of a book, Setting Boundaries with Your Weight or with Food, I think?
It is. The next book in the series is Setting Boundaries with Food. And often when we have difficult relationships like this, when we have emotions that we haven't addressed, when we are enablers, you know, we use food as a false boundary. And food has become the way we can avoid a difficult situation, the way we can avoid confronting, the way we can substitute healthy responses. We run to food for comfort, and I know firsthand what that was like. So God has laid that on my heart, that the sanity steps will work for those of us that are dealing, you know, with this issue, that that's where our comfort is coming from, and our comfort needs to come from the Lord. We've got to understand how to deal with those emotions that we haven't been dealing with, that we've been avoiding.
Well, I want to personally thank you for helping me and for spending this time with us the last few days covering your new book, Setting Boundaries with Difficult People. I highly recommend it. In fact, I have already mentioned the last few days I've ordered multiple copies. And so I think this is really going to be a blessing for all of us that need to know about healthy boundaries and working with difficult people. We all have, in fact, many times God puts difficult people in our lives to refine us, to draw characteristics out of us, to help us grow, to more fully model Christ, a hurting world, to identify with people that have other difficult people. But your book has really helped me and will enlighten our listeners' minds. So again, if you want to find out more, stop by our website. We have a photograph of Setting Boundaries with Difficult People on our website with links and how you can purchase the book and how you can learn a little more about Alison Botke and the other things she's written, over 25 nonfiction and fictional books. She's a frequent guest on a national radio program and has been interviewed and knows her topic, knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you again, Alison, for being a part of my program the last few days, and God's very best to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. I so appreciate you. Thank you. And God bless your readers. And remember, no matter how toxic their responses may be, their responses and their actions don't dictate our response. We have a choice in how we can respond to the difficult people in our life. And when we respond by reflecting the character of Christ, that's following the commandment that God wants for us to love our neighbor as ourselves.
And all of God's people said, come on, listeners, I want to hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Alison. And we'll stay connected. I look forward to learning more about your future books. Well, that concludes my two-day interview with Alison Botke, as broadcasted on November 28th and 29th of 2011. She has since gone on to write a number of other books, and you can find out more about her at harvesthousepublishers.com, harvesthousepublishers.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.